Eleanor, I think you had the most beautiful stonework in your basement of anyone who ever lived. That you talked about working on the steps for the basement, but the walls.
Yes.
Whom do you think built those?
I imagine George Cadman for Elizabeth White, because I remember when P.D. Baker came here, who's such an authority on houses, she came on another errand, and she said she just couldn't do anything until she saw the basement, which she always likes to do, in the attic and so on. And she thinks, looking at that old basement, the stonework, she thinks it even dates back further than 1714.
Yes. And, I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
What's so interesting, I'm glad you brought that up, because the stairs, how they found such beautiful flat stones, it's so different from this stairs.
Yeah.
This stairs, you would risk your life
yeah.
going up and down. That one, they're so beautifully made. They're
yeah.
so easy to use. And coming up to the little landing in that cellar is an area in the chimney hole where they evidently put their pumpkins, because the little pumpkin stems are still in there.
Isn't that darling?
And it's such an interesting little
did
hole.
Have you left this pumpkin
yes,
stems
left
right
them
there
because,
where they were?
Yes.
Where you found it?
And then, I would have forgotten it, but until you brought that area up again, as you go up to the next landing inside the house, which is very unusual, I've only seen one other like it, is another opening in the chimney, and two doors. You open two doors and look inside, and that's where they smoke their meat. And the Perrys of Drift Road,
yes.
they have one in their chimney.
Oh, they do?
Two.
They smoke their meat. Now, what about this secret closet?
Oh, yes.
That might have been a hiding place for Civil War, slaves who were running away.
So we don't know what that was used for, and
where is it located?
None of the articles, and there are many of them written up about this house, none of them ever mention that place.
Yes.
And it's in the north bedroom, and another full-size door goes into it. And that, looking in there, you can see all the way the chimney's constructed, so that you can see the flues leading into the different bedrooms. It's a fascinating thing for anybody who's interested in construction to see.
Yes. Is it large enough for a man to stand up in?
Well, the size that the people were in those days, two could stand in this hole. And there's a cover that's that you can remove. Now, we haven't any idea. It could have been tea that was hidden during our problems with England, or it could have been, I don't know whether rum runners would have added. We have
well,
any
rum
idea what it
was so
used.
Much later, you
yes.
say.
When that
in
was,
Prohibition
that
times.
Was used for.
So that this must have been something like tea.
Yeah. And I
or
the
slaves.
I think it's the Little Compton Historical Society, at some place where I've been recently, said that usually there was an opening around a chimney so that it could be repaired, which would be a very serious thing.
Yeah.
But I can see where the opening, where you open that big door to look in would have been, but I couldn't figure that out with that hole being down below.
No.
So I really don't know what it was.
Isn't that amazing?
And then we have an interesting glass that everyone loves to see, and we try and remember to point it out. The way they made the old glass at this period. There's one upstairs that, first when they made the glass, it was hot. They had to hurry and press it flat. And somebody had put their foot on it. So
somebody right here on this property must have made this glass.
Yes. We don't know where it could have come from, where the glass came from, or whose footprint, but there's a footprint, a beautiful footprint. And they decided to just put that one in. I'd love to know whose it was, why they wanted to keep it.
Yes.
And
they were historians too.
Yes. So when Lewis and I, before we even moved up here, started working on removing the glass that had been broken and replacing it with other old glass from the porch or other windows that they'd used, which is stored in the attic, and we found that the glass was just so crooked and so thin. It was quite something to replace it, put it back in.
I don't see how you could.
But it was great.
You just have such patience.
We just loved it so that it just was no effort at all. It just took time.
Yes. And now about the well sweep. It is so beautiful. I go out and look at it. Tell me about it.
Yes. Well, that's, we've replaced the well sweep. This is the third time, just recently. And the sweep is of sassafras. They use sassafras. Evidently, it bent the way they liked it, and it didn't have any branches for a long way, so it was all smooth and looked nice.
Mm-hmm.
And the well is only about 12 feet deep, and so far it hasn't gone dry, but pretty nearly.
In the summer, when you have company, you begin to worry, I think,
yes.
Don't you?
And evidently it's on a ledge, because when it's the height that it is now, this time of the year, at full as it will, usually stands, it would be 2 feet higher than the cellar floor.
Oh, really? That's it. Fascinating.
It's a hand dug.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's and amazing. We use it just at hurricanes. We,
mm-hmm. I don't know what you mean by...
When we don't have any current at different hurricanes, several of our hurricanes, we've been without current for quite a while.
Yes.
Then we dip the water instead of having it piped in. And we've also put a pot down with mm-hmm. the milk, the cream, and so on to keep it cool.
Cool, to keep everything refrigerated. Yes. Mm-hmm. I've wondered about that because some people, of course, have auxiliary motors and things, and you do so much freezing. You must worry about hurricanes and power going off.
We did at that early stage, but now everything is so efficient there here in no time, in case we have a power failure. So we don't worry about it anymore.
I think it was the 1956 hurricane when we didn't have power for 3 weeks or 2 weeks, anyhow.
It was about 10 days. Mm-hmm. We went after dry ice.
Mm-hmm.
That kept us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We had a hard time. We had to hunt all over New Bedford for it because of dry ice.
Yes. You have to be ingenious, don't you, to live in one of these old houses and love
then,
it.
Another thing that's interesting right out there near the well is a big stone that's about 4 feet in diameter. And it has a groove in it where you could see an old lye barrel stood. And then it had a place cut in it to drain the lye from the barrel. And it was right there by the door where the big fireplace is. So what they would do to make their soap, of course, you couldn't go to the corner grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
You had to do everything. And the barrel would have a layer of straw in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would take the wood ashes from the fireplace and put it on top of the straw. And then the rain, we have no gutters or anything, it just drops down to the ground. And it would evidently drop into the barrel anytime it rained. And then that would come out as a strong lye.
Isn't that amazing?
They added to their fat.
Oh, tell me about this. You mean the whole house has no gutters?
Nope.
Aren't you lucky? You're really lucky because one of my problems is keeping the leaves out of the gutters and seeing that they're puttied and painted and so on.
And we mentioned it to one of the carpenters thinking maybe we should have them put on, and he said you'd have to change the whole roof.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe we could use old wooden gutters, you
mm-hmm.
know, the appropriate, but he said that the roof line is not made for a gutter. And so it just drips down.
Yes.
And so we have put stones, and I imagine they might have too,
mm-hmm.
so it doesn't splash up on the...
That's what we've done. We don't have, well, lots of times there's no drop, you know. I mean, it just comes. But we have the old wooden gutters. A stone down below, there'll be a hole in the gutter, and the torrent of whatever water just comes down and hits the stone and spatters around all over the place. Is that the way yours
does? Ours, we've been bringing stones from the horse neck so that it drops and it doesn't splatter. It just
we've tried
stones,
now
it works fine
to improve our spattering by getting the right kind of stone.
And another thing we do, and still do, because I don't want to have below the bottom of the house around the baseboard there cemented.
No.
The way they have it today.
No.
I want to keep it just the way it is. So we have to haul seaweed from Horseneck and bank the house like the old timers do. And I'm beginning to do that now. I just finished doing the west end because that's where the
where do you find your seaweed?
And we usually go to where they unload it at Horseneck, mm-hmm. in the dunes.
Yes.
We can get it.
Yes.
And then
how many loads does it take?
Well, Herb Hadfield has helped us,
mm-hmm.
in the past, and he usually brings a couple of van loads.
Mm-hmm.
But we really don't need to make it quite that deep, but as long as we have it.
Then you can make it nice and cozy.
Yeah. Keep the drafts out.
Do you think about anything else we should discuss?
I don't. I think that might probably would take care of all of our...
All right. Now, when did Lewis become sick?
I cook in the fireplace.
Yes, tell me about your cooking in the
fireplace. Well, that's lots of fun, too.
Tell me about it.
That was all. Oh.
Tell me
well,
a little bit about
I have things that we have today. I have a waffle iron, and you just put it down in the coals.
You have a crane. What do they call these things with a ratchet? Trammel. You have a trammel.
Yes, and that raises and lowers the pans. And I make Johnny cakes on that old Johnny cake pan. Stewing. Big iron stew pot.
Do you have little spider pots that you pull out some, the way they do at Plymouth, you pull out some of the coals and put the spider pots over them?
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry we didn't have a reflector oven like the old timers had, so I have a new one, a modern one from Beans,
mm-hmm.
and so we can bake biscuits and things, mm-hmm. like that too.
This fireplace you're speaking of, what would you, have you any idea what the proportions of that are?
Long. Yes.
And high, you can stand up in it.
Four.
Really? Uh-huh. Only four? It seems so large. And
I have to duck my head.
You do?
Yep.
Well, it is so beautiful. The room is beautiful in itself, but it is beautiful especially because of the fireplace. And I just wanted to say that the floors have been painted, the old wide boards have been painted, and you and Lewis spattered them? Or you
spatter. I was the painter.
You're the spatterer.
Yes,
you're the painter.
The spatterer, yes. And Mike, the one, the chap, the gentleman across the road that I said used to paint for us, taught me to spatter.
Some of your floors are blue, and some are tan, and some are rosy, red. Some are green, are they?
Yep. The big room has the real deep green.
Deep green.
Yeah, gray,
mm-hmm.
and brown.
Mm-hmm. And the furniture, well, we just, there's no time really on this, in this tape to go into the things that make this house beautiful inside as well as the paneling and so on. We just won't even begin to touch it because we couldn't. Now, when did Lewis become sick?
Well, I think he had problems for a long time before he died in 1936, so he wasn't too well for a number of years, just...
Mm-hmm. Did he keep on working at things anyway?
Yes.
He just kept on and on. He's just like the old Swede that you are, in a way, although he isn't a Swede. Tripp is an English name, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He lived at the head, and his father was a sea captain.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well, since his death, you have maintained this property in the most exquisite manner. I don't know how you've done it. You've had friends who've helped, you've had relatives who've helped, but mostly it's been Eleanor Tripp. And in addition to maintaining this, you've been a person who's contributed a great deal to the community. What could you tell me some of the kinds of, well, organizations that you've been interested in?
When I first came, I remember that Florence Coughlin told me that they had a women's club, and she thought that I would be interested in joining, and I thought, well, that would be a good way to get to know Westporters.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it thoroughly. Mary Davis was the president. Grace Babbitt was the vice president. When Grace Babbitt said that she wouldn't become president unless I was her vice president. And we really, it was so worthwhile because there wasn't anything in those days. People came mm-hmm. to the women's club because that was the thing.
It was
the only
thing to do. Mm-hmm. Where was
and
it?
So
where'd you meet?
At the community house.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were no scholarship funds at that time.
Now, this was the Quaker community house, was
yes.
it then?
Yes.
Owned by the Quakers with their meeting house next door. And Eleanor, by
and
the
they,
way, is a friend, a Quaker.
Yes. And they built it for a community thing,
mm-hmm.
to be used for them as a community project. But there wasn't any scholarship funds, and I remember Grace Babbitt, who one time was waiting for her husband Frank, who was in some place doing business, and she was sitting out waiting for him, and she had the idea that was we needed that in Westport. So we started a lot of firsts here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our big money making
mm-hmm.
project.
Mm-hmm.
So and we really stitched aprons and did all sorts of things.
And then the Well Baby Clinic was part of
that. Then, it wasn't long after I was in there when Ms. DeAndrea came and
mm-hmm.
asked if our women's club wouldn't help.
She was the town nurse,
yes,
wasn't she?
Yes, formed this Well Child Clinic. Worked on that for years and years and years and loved every minute of it. Grace Babbitt, Monty LaPro, and Lucia Paul, and I were the first
mm-hmm.
to work on that.
Now, getting back from the first kinds of things you did, you garden all the time anyway. I mean, can and freeze and garden constantly.
Baseball.
And attend the meeting. You have several functions at the Friends meeting, which I won't go into, except that I know you make the most beautiful flower arrangements that anyone could possibly make with the flowers that you raise here in the handy house property. What is it that I want to bring out? I think I'd like to talk a little bit about you and your ideas of what Westport is like today and what you might envision happening to it, where some people are very much concerned and worried about the growth rate. Apparently it's slowing down, but for several years it was so fast it was almost going to be a city because so many people moved in from cities nearby. Do you have any worries about any of that?
Yes. I do. I really think it is too bad when people can't buy, can't build, if they don't have too much income. And yet, I can see the other side of it too. If you have just so many houses crowded in, that means more schools and I just...
More taxes? Either way, you can't win.
I know. And so often I feel that I'm glad I'm as old as I am.
No, I think that's marvelous.
I can't face changes because I've seen them. See, I've been coming since 1941.
Yeah.
And I was reading some of my old notes that I had made. I kept track of what we did when we first came, And I remember talking about an occasional automobile would go up Handy Hill.
Yes.
And
isn't that fun?
Things like that.
Did you go to clam bakes and things all the time? Now there are a few.
And auctions and went looking for antiques. Mm-hmm. Of course, we had them, brought what we had from Washington, what we had to
find things. This is a large house, and you had to find things that were appropriate.
But I remember, Mary, before they made Hicks Bridge Road and widened it, I used to take my wheelbarrow and walk up Handy Hill and pick up tin cans and trash so that to discourage people from dropping more.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go all the way up and come all the way down, and there wouldn't be one car that would have seen me with my wheelbarrow load of trash.
Mm.
That's the way it was.
It was so quiet and peaceful.
And it just wasn't used.
No.
And they used Main Road.
Yes.
And there wasn't any place special.
What about Drift Road?
Well, wasn't much traffic on Drift Road, but more than on Handy Hill, I think. Mm-hmm. And but anyway, there were wild grapes just all over my path as I'd go up the road with my wheelbarrow.
Well, those are those marvelous Concord grapes, aren't they?
And then some pink.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Did you pick them and make jelly jams and preserves
and so on? And before we moved up here, we'd take probably a whole bushel basket back to Washington. But so I the changes.
Yes.
They bother me.
Yes, I know. They bother me too.
So I don't want it to grow. I'm a little selfish, I'm afraid.
I think, well, it's a real problem. One doesn't know morally whether to wish it to grow so that people can have the opportunity of sharing this beautiful experience with you, or think this way, if they come, it will spoil it and they won't have it.
And as a friend of mine has said, you shouldn't feel guilty trying to keep your land the way it is. Because keeping your trees and so on is what's supporting these people who are building.
Yes.
You've got to have your trees.
Yes. Well, that's it. And it's making our Westport air so marvelous. I mean, if I go anywhere, you know, visiting or something, go to New York City or go Boston, when I come home, I just take a deep breath. Well, thank you, Eleanor. You've been marvelous to do this again with us, and I know it's not for me, but for the community, and we appreciate it. Thanks.